Welcome to the Round 10 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined by CJ. Welcome back, mate.
Hey, folks.
Certainly interesting time to be recording. It is a Monday afternoon. This will be light on the editing so we can get it out as quickly as possible. Also be a fairly light show. Obviously not a lot of time to digest what's just occurred and all the prices and so on. We'll do our best, but yeah, I guess the nature of these podcasts will be a little bit more rough, I guess, in nature, as we have to work with more unknowns. And I think already on the weekend, saw some effects of not being able to see all the teams come into play, including people who took Ling instead of Watson because they had no idea if Watson would be named. And being the last day of the round on the Sunday that Freo was playing, you couldn't really afford to take the risk. And for myself, I didn't know if Noble would be playing before Ling's game. And if Noble missed or was dropped, I would have had a donut. So I put on Ling as a second emergency just in case, but that would then give me the lower score between Starcevic and Ling. So I gave up 20 points to get that added security because I didn't know if Noble was definitively going to play. Thankfully, Noble did and scored 102, but I still took a 20-point hit because I was trying to hedge my bets there. So we're already seeing the impact of not being able to, trade all at once and having to really make decisions across a week. CJ, how did you find that? Any tips, tricks? I know you were touting the alarm method. The alarm worked for you, mate. You hopefully didn't miss anything.
Well, it didn't. I didn't really need it, to be honest. I decided to go on Clayton Oliver, which meant I just had to kind of clench the teeth and cross the fingers and hope because I needed to pull three trades for the Thursday night game, which was, a bit of a scary proposition, but worked out in the end with John Noble salvaging what could have been a very, very bad week had he not played.
And about time, because I think we've seen Noble play well for a while, but he just either didn't get the disposal off in time or just it felt like he was close but not quite there, and on the weekend he finally put it together. I think something that really encouraged me about Noble is he actually pushed up a fair bit onto the wing. So he was spending quite a bit of time actually playing on defensive wing on Brett Bewley, actually in the third and fourth, I noticed as well. I missed a bit of the first half, but certainly the bits that I did notice, Noble was playing some time in that sort of defensive wing role, which obviously led him closer to the ball and with more possessions. And his ability to navigate tight spaces is actually quite impressive. It's one of his strong suits. And I think that certainly sort of played to his strengths. So it'd be interesting to see if he can keep that up. His break even is only 34, and we might be able to trade him out close to 340K. So some good news there. How else did you go on the weekend? Why don't we start with an update, CJ?
So I scored a 2,325, which saw me slip out to just outside the top 2,000. So not fantastic, but considering how badly I was going after Wednesday and Thursday night, I was pretty happy to not actually slide that far out. Not having McRae and not having Pickett really set the week off to a very, very bad start. How about you, Marcus?
Yeah, no Pickett certainly hurt whenever you get rookies scoring the ton. It certainly helps. So that's why Noble was so big for us, just to be able to match a Pickett-type score. I scored 24.04, by far my best round for the year. Like I said, the team's good. Hopefully it keeps stringing it together. And that was off the back of a triple downgrade week. So I brought in Draper early. I brought in Close and I brought in Ling. And this week I've got 500K, which gives me a chance at definitely will be getting both Duncan and Stewart, which I know people are choosing between. I don't have to worry about getting Draper, which I know lots of people are keen on. And maybe I might be able to pick up Neil as well, depending on who I trade out. So I'm hoping to go from strength to strength moving forward. I think as of recording this a few minutes ago, the Twitter news also broke around rumors that Gorn is going for scans, and if the scans prove negative, could even miss multiple weeks. At this stage, he's still slated to play against Adelaide on the weekend, so no confirmed bad news, but at time of recording, potentially good news from high team, being a non-Gorn owner. So a bit to look forward to on my front. We'll discuss the Gorn bit very shortly. But anyway, we'll do a quick Patreon group update as well. Our Patreon leader at the end of the year will win a cash prize of $250. That's just a bit of a pull from our Patreon support donation. So thank you all. And the leader of that group is still Jack's team. He scored 23-43, and he's now sitting at 41st. So Jack's still leading that group overall. All right, let's get into the questions for the week, and we'll start off with a general one first from Facebook, from Leanne Richards, who's asking whether or not we're still able to reverse trade in the 24-ish hours between rounds. So, yeah, we have small window, as I've mentioned before. We're now only 6 hours or so from lockout at time of recording. Absolutely. In between rounds, you still are able to reverse trades. Just remember, you have to absolutely reverse trades before the start of that rolling lockout. So this week, by the time some of you listen to this, it's probably over already. It's 7:10 on a Monday this week. All right, let's talk about some actual rookies then. And we'll start with a question from our patron, Scaries. Is asking about priority of trading the following rookies. He's got Williamson, Starcevic, Noble, Bennell, Taylor, Butterick. I guess in general, though, CJ, direction around trading out rookies at this stage of the season, what are you looking for?
For me, I mean, obviously it's positional. Like, if I really want to go to Tom Stewart this week, it's very likely that I have to trade out Noble just because it's a necessity. But in general, I'm looking at which guys have the highest break-evens, and also which guys are, I think personally, the least likely to score well over the future. So looking at those, guys who have kind of topped out, like Starcevic and Williamson, if you can trade them out, I'd be pretty happy to. I'd probably be keeping, if you can keep a guy like Noble or King this week after their big scores on the weekend, that's absolutely something I'd do. Every little kind of 10, 15K rise really helps. But I'd also be pretty happy to hold a guy like Butterick if you've got no one else to trade out, just because he's got DPP and seems to have rock-solid job security. So I really, yeah, for me, it's kind of a combination of factors. But guys who aren't scoring particularly well or seem to be on the outer, I'm reasonably happy to trade out, particularly once they make that kind of like 230K is about the cutoff for me. Once they're above there, they're pretty much on the chopping block. Before that, I'm likely to kind of hold and hope, because it's a lot easier to get up to kind of 230 this year than the 300 of previous seasons.
A few things to keep in mind, and this is largely similar most of the year. You want to be looking at a minimum of 250, really. Trading out guys who are under 250K just doesn't deliver you enough bang for your buck. So you really want to be minimizing those unless you're worried about bench cover, long-term cash generation, and those sorts of things. The other thing that you want to look to is DPP flexibility. If the choices are fairly marginal, then I much prefer keep a DPP player, not just because they provide flexibility with cover, but also because they just open up trading options. So if you have Starcevic in your backline and you're looking to trade out Sam Simpson, that backline rookie allows you to trade Simpson for both a midfielder and a backline player. And that may seem like a small deal, but the flexibility is huge because it allows you to pick up the right players at the right time, potentially including a Stewart type this week. So DPP certainly is an extra factor for trying to keep people around. So Rivers, you know, under 250K, mid-def flexibility. If you've got Starcevic, you can use him as a floating loophole, and he doesn't get you a lot if you trade him anyway. So he ends up being a guy you begrudgingly keep. The other thing that I look at is, where do you think the player is going to get to? How do you think they're going to score? And then how are they looking at today? Because it's much more than just the break-even, because there are week-to-week fluctuations in how a player scores. You need to also look at the bigger picture, because if a really good rookie's had a bad week this week and they've look like they've bottomed out, they probably won't, because they're good enough to have a good game down the track, and Rankin's a great example of that. He's a 280K rookie. he started off by scoring 200 pluses. Now, he's definitely going to get beyond 280 by the end of the season. There are people who are looking at trading him out this week, but I absolutely wouldn't because, one, he's a decent potential potent scorer, but two, because he's certainly still got a lot more potential in him. So if I look at Rankin and I think Rankin can get to 350 compared to Starcevic, who I think, you know, might only stay at 280, well, it's a fairly easy decision. Even though Rankin I can get 30K more out of, I'd still prefer to trade Starcevic. You know, but then the other part that you're thinking about is it's not just who you trade out, but also how much money that you need to trade in. So then you start needing to make some compromises. Well, if I don't have enough money to trade in Duncan, I might have to consider trading out John Noble. Now, Noble might get to 330, but if I trade out Simpson instead of Noble, I don't hit Duncan. Now, if you're faced with that sort of equation, are you better off trading out a rookie that you would rather keep so that you can hit, you know, this bargain basement rookie, premium that has a lot of value? So there's a lot of stuff to toss up, and we're not really going to be able to give you sort of anything definitive, but hopefully that helps you make your mind up a little bit. In terms of some of the plays that he's tossed up there, therefore the plays that I think would be potentially a little bit more attractive, Curtis Taylor. Yes, he has high upside, but his poor scores also somewhat limit his ability to fully appreciate in cash. Buderick punctuates with lower scores as well. So at 240, I think he might get to 280 if he has a good game, but it may take quite a while. With close as a forward mid DPP player, Buderick might be a player you can let go. Bennell at 215, I think, is very unders. One, you're not getting 250K. Two, Bennell has an established premium scoring history, so we want to give him a chance to score a 90, let that cycle through before we trade him out, so I'd prefer to keep him. Noble's price point is ready to go, so ideally you'd let him go, but his break-even's 34. Now, Noble has scored 30, so he might be ready to go this week, but he's still got potential to... So Noble's a tough one. I'd actually be okay with trading him out, even though he scored 100. But you'd only do that if it allows you to get a Duncan type or whatever. Otherwise, you'd prefer to keep a Noble. You know, Williamson's one where I think his body just doesn't hold up with AFL enough, and so his scoring's always really poor. So at 227,000, Williamson's one that, even though he's under 250, I don't see him getting much past 250, so he's one that on the buy you might be happy to get rid of. So I haven't given anything definitive, but hopefully talking through those examples helps a little bit. What do you reckon, Siege?
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of those points. Also, with two best 18 rounds coming up, I think keeping Rankin seems like a really, and say Max King to another, like to a lesser extent, keeping the guys with the higher ceilings, if it's just best 18 scoring, you really want a rookie who can kind of knock out a premium score. So I think Rankin's just a great candidate to keep for at least the next couple if we're doing best 18 scoring, because there's the very good chance that he just goes 100 and then actually ends up, you know, replacing a poor score on your field, whereas I don't see guys like Curtis Taylor having the same ceiling.
Yeah, so we got a question from Facebook from Bridget Jolly asking about Rankin and whether or not he's done his dash. So, yeah, absolutely, Siege. Very much recommend holding Rankin. And, you know, a good example of how you might be able to use him and certainly what I have planned is, you know, who's your worst forward? Most people, it's Devin Smith. Well, if you hate Devin Smith and his 60s occasionally, hopefully that's a week that Rankin scores 100, right? So I'm planning to use Rankin as an interchangeable sort of F6 with Devin Smith and hopefully use a loophole to protect against some of the poorer scores. So you can certainly think of a Rankin type in that way, and he's certainly a prime candidate for that. I mean, you know, Sam Simpson, even with him averaging 80s, he's not really going to replace a midfield premium. But in the forward line, Rankin can, you know, he can replace a Segler or even a Simpkin on a poor week, right? So certainly Rankin, don't trade him out in 280. Certainly still got time left to grow. Mm. All right, next question is from one of our patrons again, is from Shannon Swan. He's asking whether or not we should pivot our R3 into the forward line to accommodate Draper. For example, trading King to Draper via the Cameron pivot. And I just want to say that's what I did last week. So Cameron's now in my forward line. Draper is in my rocks. And I've got Segler. So I've given up my rock forward link to bring in Draper. Draper obviously is a very high high cash generation potential player. Scored 73 on debut. a 21-year-old that is an athletic freak. Would sort of equate him to a Noah Bolter type in that super agile, super big and strong and tall, sort of that next-gen athlete. And no issues at all pivoting Cameron Ford. I think the other thing to think about with Cameron is that because he's starting to get games, you might not potentially also want to keep him for the entire year as a loophole. Like if Cameron somehow gets the 300K, you might trade him down to a rookie anyway and reestablish a Ruck Ford link, you know, with a Jerry or, you know, another bottom price player later on. So I wouldn't be too concerned about, moving Cameron out. I think Cameron's also scoring fine enough to sit on a Ford bench and provide some loopholing opportunities, you know, with Rankin. Cameron's had, you know, a couple scores above 70 or 80 now. So, yeah, I'm all for that move. What do you reckon, Sage?
I think ruck rookies, like rookies who actually spend a reasonable amount of time in the ruck, are just so much more valuable than any other rookie position just because the floor on them is so, so high. Because if they're just attending a few center bounces, they get a few hit outs, it just means that their score is already going to be inflated by about 20 or so points. So it really just eliminates those like 30s and 40s that guys like Butterick seem to score and kind of puts their floor at about 60, which is just so valuable as a position. So yeah, I think I'll be bringing in Draper this week for sure. I've still got Bailey J. Williams from West Coast, so I could pivot him into the back line, move Rivers into my midfield, and then finally get Draper into the bench. But yeah, that's just the value of DPP.
In terms of other rookies on the bubble, just so that you are aware, there is a ruck forward that debuted who replaced Tex. He's a 24-year-old, 204-centimeter ruckman, Strawn, I think is how you pronounce it, 39 points with 10 hit-outs, 4 tackles and 4 disposals. Not brilliant, but if you're looking to reestablish the ruck forward link down the track, assuming Draper eventually goes, Strawn might be an option, and I'm certainly considering him because eventually I would want to reestablish the Segler link, and so having somebody who's actually a chance of playing might be good, although there's a good chance he'll be dropped when Tex comes back in, and he might not play again this year, but just so that people are aware. A couple of other debutants on the weekend that are relevant from Brisbane. Connor Ballenden, who's a forward, and Sam Skinner, who's a forward in Supercoach, both pretty close to bottom priced. Ballenden's a key tall, is only really in for Dan McStay. So it will be in for one more week, and then you think job security would be a concern. So I'm not the biggest fan of him. He's also a tall forward. Sam Skinner's another one. Plays a little bit more of a medium forward role, has played games sort of 3-4 years ago, but had 3 knee recos, 111,000, so that bit cheaper, 63 points, kicking a goal. He's probably one of the top options for the week. I really don't know about his job security moving forward, but you know, he's getting games today. They seem to indicate that that's not necessarily going to end anytime quickly. So as long as he can hold up form, he's a chance to stay in the team. And you know, so mature age player getting games and having scoring potential, playing for, you know, a top four contending team, he certainly is one of the top options for the week. And probably the last main notable, Mark Keane, who came in for Collingwood to replace Ruffage and Sharon Merg, who were dropped this week. He's a key defender. Probably some job security concerns there and scoring concerns, so not too big on him. So, yeah, I guess Draper, Skinner, Strawn, probably the main ones. And the fact that we have so few rookies this week, really, like quality rookies, is reflected in the fact that we're getting quite a lot of questions about the rookies who also played last week. So James Bell is one who I know there were some questions over last week, but, you know, he's a 21-year-old who did do his time in the NEAFL, got NEAFL Player of the Year, plays that bullocking mid-forward tackling role really well from Sydney's point of view, in the sense that, you know, they obviously like that sort of tackle, heavy tackle pressure sort of player. I think he's a decent chance to keep getting games, considering he stayed in the team when Hayward came back in. That was probably the main question mark with him. His break-even's minus 27. He's mid-forward. So he's potentially an option as well. I mean, ultimately, you'd prefer to pick bottom-price rookies at this stage of the season. But, you know, if you're looking for a mid-forward, he's not too bad going a week late. What do you reckon, Siege, in terms of going a week late on a player, or would you stick to, you know, these debutants?
I think it depends positionally a little bit. Down back, if you really need a like defender downgrade, maybe Toby Watson is a reasonable option. Played pretty well against Collingwood last night. Seems to have a reasonably cool head under pressure. And I think being, you know, one of the taller members of Fremantle's tiny backline might actually have a little bit of security. But in general, I'd really prefer to take Draper or probably Skinner this week if you do need to trade in a rookie. But I think quite a few members of the community would have probably done a double down last week. So there's a few. Hopefully, you only need to take one rookie this week, and that can be Draper.
In terms of expensive or more expensive players who did sort of play their first game on the weekend, you've got Oleg Markov, who scored 78 for Richmond at 184, and Tom Sparrow for Melbourne at 182. Job security is still a concern for both of them. I'd say for Oleg, maybe a little bit more than Tom. I was actually reasonably encouraged by Tom Sparrow's first game back in 2020. He spent quite a lot of time playing in the midfield, even seemed to get more of a run in there than, you know, a Brayshaw type. And so a guy who's playing inside mid obviously is a bit more attractive, but does come at 180,000. So does come with a price premium anyway. It's not as though he's easy to pick up. But, you know, pick 27, so highly drafted or recognized kid in the 2018 draft, which is that super draft. You know, the players around him for comparison who have scored okay so far, you know, Vandermeer is 37, Jack Ross 43, Curtis Taylor 46 from that draft. That was that sort of premium draft. So a guy to think about as well is Tom Sparrow. All right, on to the premiums now, just to wrap up this week. And we're starting with Richard Callis's question, one of our patrons. He's asking, assuming you have equal needs in your backline and midfield, who should be prioritized this week, Duncan or Stewart? And pretty much the topic of the week this week. If you can grab both, you obviously would try to. But if you can't, I mean, to me, Stewart seems like the obvious one, just because – yeah, Duncan's never been sort of that elite premium midfielder where, even though Stewart hasn't really done that either before, he's only played in the comp for 3 years. He's kept getting better each year, and he could maybe step up to be, you know, a 110 averaging sort of ultra premium defender. Whereas Duncan, I think it would be surprising if he manages 120 for the rest of the year, not because he's not averaging brilliantly so far this year. I think this year he's top 5 points per minute. You know, a 120 average is still not something that he's managed before. You know, whereas Stewart having had less exposed form in the AFL and playing in a position with less competition for scoring is certainly the guy I'd be pretty keen on. Does that resonate with you, CJ, or would you go Duncan instead?
I'd still go Stewart. I think Tom Stewart seems to just be playing a role that this year Champion Data's really decided should be scored a little bit more heavily. He takes a heap of intersect marks. He really, if we see guys like Sicily and Haynes really scoring well, Stewart's in exactly the same mold. Stewart, I think, at that price is my favourite option this week. But I also think Mitch Duncan is, if you have the chance, I would be doing a lot to get in Mitch Duncan. He's averaging 125 without his injury game this year. He hasn't dropped a score under 114 so far this season. So on exposed form, he is just absolutely flying. I think he's been a big beneficiary of Tim Kelly leaving the side. His disposal's super clean. I think Duncan definitely can average 120 to finish the season. Geelong still hasn't played Adelaide, which, looking at some of the mid-scores against Adelaide, you'd hope Duncan would get off the chain there. So, yeah, I think both of them are phenomenal options, and really I'd be investigating any way you can to get both of them in this week. But if you had to pick, I'd be picking Stewart.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I tripled down last week, so I wouldn't have to make this choice. Certainly not one that I think you would like to make if you could not make that. Next question from Steve, another one of our Patreons. He's wanting to add Dusty into the mix of this, and maybe while we're at it, Michael Bairstow on Facebook is also asking about Neil and McRae. Now, obviously, Dusty, Neil, McRae, much, much, much more highly selected than these two. So we're not going to spend a heap of time on it. But I just wonder, do any of those three take priority over Duncan or Stewart? Do they present more value? Or, I mean, Neil and Dusty probably also considered bottomed out, having had poor scores a couple of weeks ago. McRae is probably a bit past it by now, but I can understand that he's going even higher. What do you reckon, Siege?
I think I'd stick a line through McRae if you're considering it. Just at that price, I think the ship's already sailed. I think Dunkley is looking like coming back this week, so there's also just a small amount of risk factor that does affect McRae's scoring and brings him back down to earth. So, yeah, I'd put a line through him straight away. Dusty
515K,
yeah,
break even of 16.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah, Dusty is projected to go up the most out of all of those three players if he scores his average. He's projected to go up about 40K. He looked incredible on the weekend. I think given how many cheap options there are available, particularly in the forward line, especially if you don't have a guy like Jai Simpkin, who looks like he's bottoming out, I would probably be leaning towards Duncan and Stewart over Dusty. But yeah, I would go Stewart over Dusty. I might trade Dusty in over Duncan, just because, yeah, I think Dusty is a bit less replaceable as a forward.
Stewart 1, Dusty 2, Duncan 3. Yeah, Dusty's cheaper than Duncan. Potentially offers similar scoring potential, but available in the forward line instead of the midfield. I've already got Dusty, so I haven't been pumping him up. But you know, last week, his 66 just cycled out. He was at 466K. It was the perfect week for him last week. So whoever got him also happened to get 184 and go up 50K. So if anyone got him last week, well, bloody done. Lachie Neal, he's the one I'm considering bringing in my team this week. Like I mentioned at the start of the show, I actually tripled down last week, anticipating that might allow me to do Duncan, Stewart, and Neal this week. Obviously, if you don't have Neal, that is a very big concern for non-Neal owners. How should I be evaluating Neal in context to, I mean, I think Stewart is a no-brainer, but Neal versus Duncan, I guess, is what I'm throwing up.
I think I would still take the value presented by Duncan this week. I think Duncan is a very, very good chance to go 120 from here. And I think it's once you're already up at the kind of 680s in price, it's much harder to really move the needle north unless you go on an absolute like Max Gorn-esque belter. So I think Neil, you can probably wait a week on. I kind of feel like it's this week or not with Mitch Duncan. So I'd probably take the value that's presented because it is there. And then next week you can look at maybe doing a two down, one up to get a Lachie Neal type, which is one of the beauties of having three trades.
Yeah, certainly what I'm leaning toward this week, Duncan, Stewart as the top two and then Neal next. I mean, I should mention that I will end up having to pay more for Neal and it could end up being egregiously more again. This is absolutely the right week to buy Neal because his break even is 96. He is below rate at the moment because of that 80 officially cycling out. But also his last 2 weeks are now 152 and 157. So it is very much this is the bottom for Neil. If you want him this week, you know, ideally you don't wait another. You might go up another 25 this week. But Duncan is facing an even more extreme situation, hence your recommendation. So I agree with that, Siege. I think sort of in closing, Stewart 1, Dusty 2, Duncan 3, Neil 4, McRae 5, if we're having to rank those.
Absolutely.
So it's been 30 minutes. I think we might close it there, CJ. Any final thoughts to share with our listeners, mate?
Keep your eyes peeled to the Twitterverse. If Max Gorn is going to miss weeks, then there's some potential for some pretty balls to the wall trades. But yeah, I, as always, try and get in Tom Stewart would be pretty much my advice for the week.
Well, to our community, just want to give a shout out to CJ. Thanks for coming on, mate. We have been recording at odd hours, and you've definitely helped us being able to keep the shows out at these weird times. So thank you to you. And you're not really a big Twitterer. You're just getting onto it slowly. You have a ghost account with two followers, but at bathtub_brewing, if you are wanting to follow CJ and give him a couple more people to talk to. thank you so much for our patrons. I will be recording a special with Mark on Wednesday, so we expect to get something out Wednesday afternoon. And plan to keep doing that with Mark on the Wednesday. So you've got that to look forward to, patrons, and we'll give another update if anything sort of develops further. Otherwise, good luck. It's certainly tough managing a lot of the lockout timings and things like that, but the bright side is we get footy every single day at the moment, which is pretty cool too. So enjoy, and we'll catch you all soon. See ya.
Thanks, folks. Bye. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy. Let's get crazy.